This is Your Hidden Power. I'm Doug Steffen with questions and answers. We'll have our usual group of helpers. Uri Geller will join us later in the hour. We'll have our intuitive Mary O'Malley and, of course, the visitation from Maria Francesca Trilogy, our astrologer. We're going to start out, though, with a focus on the work done by Stacy Wolfe, who's the author of Never Throw Rice at a Pisces, the first wedding planning guide for brides who like astrology. So, Stacy, would you be one of those brides who likes astrology? Was this written to fulfill your own destiny, your own needs?
Gee, what a question that is, Doug. I was a bride who liked astrology, for sure. I was an astrologer and a psychic first before I was a bride. And I loved working with brides. I love working with brides. And there was definitely a need, because nobody had ever, before I wrote this, connected these two big industries before. Astrology and the wedding industry.
So how did you connect them? What did you see, or what did you feel or sense was the connection?
I think that to a layman, astrology is, it's really fun science, it's really accurate, but unless it's applied to, you know, these specific areas of your life, it's very hard to translate it. So as a bride, I know it's difficult to be a bride. It's fun to be a bride. It's difficult to be a bride. You have a lot of, people are really coming at you with a lot of their own needs, and you have to navigate a lot of things. And it's another tool for brides to use. And if they were just to open up the newspaper and read, you know, today's a great day, be something with your friends, blah, 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 you wouldn't necessarily know how to translate that. So I think that's what I did really well.
Let me put it in a way that's pretty much right to the heart of the matter. You are a self-described professional psychic medium, which is an interesting, I always am interested to put astrology together with psychic tools. I know some people who do it very well, others who don't. Astrology, I find a fascinating field, because if you find a good astrologer and the information you get from them is true to what you give that person, that is your birth date, the time, city where you were born,
yeah,
you're going to get back from somebody who really understands it, some really astonishing help when it comes to relationships, people that you're working with. I find that I don't use it to keep me from, let's say, being close to somebody or to hiring someone, but it helps to learn how to deal with those people having those tools. So let me go one step further, though, with the business of being a psychic medium. There's a certain amount of healthy skepticism, maybe guarded skepticism. There is a streak of skepticism today with this, although more and more people are going to psychics and to astrologers for help. There are those who are really good, and there are those that are just not any good at all.
Right. Very mediocre. There's a lot of mediocre people in this business.
Right. So how do you, as someone who's good, get over the skepticism that people have based on the people who are doing this that are no good?
Yeah, you know what? I don't have the need to change anybody's opinion on anything. Mm-hmm. So on the occasion when I do run into someone who's skeptic, I'm like, yeah, I don't need to change your mind about anything. Like, you stay a skeptic. I think once we get started, once I get started with someone, they can really, we get into it,
yeah,
then that could be put aside fairly quickly. But I also really dislike, it's very unnerving when somebody, it used to happen a lot in my career, when somebody would say something like, well, how do I know you're right? Can you tell me, you know, something between me and my dear Aunt Mary that only I would know?
Right.
And I'm like, then I learned over time, because I have this tendency, I think like everybody else, to want to just please everybody, to say, you know what, I'm not the psychic for you. Like, if you want someone to prove something to you, go find somebody else, because I am not that person. because you can't change somebody's mind. But on the other hand, once you get started, I think people can really see how helpful it is and how accurate it is.
Well, I think that's it. And it depends, again, on the person as much as anything else. So you
can't
started...
read everybody.
Say again?
Yeah, that's another thing. You can't always read everybody.
No.
There's always somebody that's going to come away from a session and say, it didn't exactly work. But I think that for the most part, I would like people to, if that on the very, very rare occasion that happens, at least they can say, well, I run a professional business. I care about my clients. I can't always. The other thing is, with just a name, and I don't know if your psychic friends are the same way, but with just a name, I could look at a new person's name and say, am I going to be able to read this person? Am I going to be able to serve this person? And then I send those other people to somebody else who may serve them better.
Wow,
so
that's a good
thing. I
think
I can pretty much avoid some of those people.
So
I can't
my given name is Dudley, and not Doug. Doug is the name that came out of lots of people calling me Dud, and people not hearing as a nickname, hearing Dud, they heard Doug, and so it just sort of caught on. And I wonder if there's a different vibration. I think I've asked that question before, and I don't remember the answer between Doug Stephan and Dudley Stephan. And when you hear that, what do you get back in terms of a little bit of a vibe?
You know what? There is a difference.
Yeah.
I definitely, I don't know if this is an interesting, I'd love to hear what your other friends, the people that you have worked with on a regular basis have to say. But to me, Doug Stephan is very direct, very no nonsense, very down to earth, very easygoing, but can push someone. If you don't like an answer to something, you have no problem going, wait a second here. This makes, this is not adding up.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Dudley Stephan's a little bit more, indecisive. You have two things, and which one? It's hard to sort of make a decision. It's a little harder. Dudley Stephan wants to know every single piece of information before, and you can't do that on the radio. You have 2 minutes. You got to suss it up real quick.
Exactly. Yeah.
I absolutely do think there's a difference. The other thing is Dudley Stephan is a little more forgiving and accepting, and where Doug Stephan is, sizes it up quickly and also makes a judgment. But it's so down to earth, and so they're both fine. How do you feel about these two names? That's my question to you.
The comfort level that comes from Doug in terms of radio, but most people who know me call me Doug. It's my sisters who don't, and my children who don't, and people that I love, the people who are closest to me, person that I've been involved with in varying ways over the past 5.5-6 years, really made me feel good about being called Dudley. Nobody ever really called me that, but it is my name. And yet it sort of fell off of the screen when I went to college because of people being uncomfortable. I went to a Midwestern school, and they weren't comfortable calling me Dudley. I could tell. I could watch their body language.
Right.
So I became uncomfortable with it.
Oh, that's interesting.
And when I was a kid, but I remember on the school bus, people used to call me a Dud. So it had a psychological impact on me. There's no question about it. I was always trying to achieve something because I felt there was something wrong with my name. And in fact, it's a very British use the name a lot. It's sort of an elegant name in a manner of speaking.
It's interesting that you're saying all these things, because that, to me, Doug Stephan is, like I said before, but very direct, but also you're an adult. Doug Stephan is an adult, and Dudley Stephan doesn't seem to have those same. You can really grow that piece of you, like you were saying now, and then maybe, I wonder if I checked in on the name in a year or two after, if I would feel differently about it.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Everything is fluid.
Yep, it sure is. All right. So you see how these minds work, ladies and gentlemen. Stacey Wolfe is here with us, the author of Never Throw Rice at a Pisces. She's been named one of the top 100 psychics in America and has a talent. It is a hidden power, which she is helping people understand not only her hidden power, but yours as well. And now, I don't know whether I'm supposed to call you Stacey Wolfe or Stacey Wolfe James. I'm guessing that Stacey Wolfe is your single name, and you married some guy named James.
Yeah, Stacy Wolf, either one. This is my astrology. I'm a Pisces with a Gemini moon and a Gemini rising. Anybody know who's both of those? It's the two fish, it's the two twins, two names, it all works. The thing, too, is that you really do need to go beyond the sun sign. That's what people... It's fun to read your horoscope, but it's not enough. These days, people are much more educated. When I run into somebody who's, oh, you're an astrologer, you wrote this book, oh, I'm a this, this, and this. They know their moon sign, they know their rising sign, they know their birth time, so I can pull out my computer or my phone, pop up a chart.
Bing, bang, boom.
People know a lot more than when I first started in this business. They were like, what is that?
Is it mostly women or men? I know that I'm a Scorpio. My sun sign is Scorpio. My moon is in Pisces and my rising sign is Aquarius.
I love it.
So what does that tell you?
Pisces moon, my husband's Pisces moon, Scorpio, very private, very intense, very humanitarian, always looking to help people. And I'm not surprised you're doing this show because you want to get to the truth of the matter. You want to know the bottom line of things, which is also very similar to Aquarius. Aquarius rising, very easygoing, this is a very interesting chart, right? Because the Pisces moon feels things very, very deeply. Mm-hmm. You get very easily hurt. You're very sensitive. You're very intuitive yourself. People with Pisces moon, very intuitive, channel a lot of things, even just in everyday life without knowing it, whether they believe it or not. It's not about, this is your interest. Scorpios have this interest. Aquarius have this interest. Aquarius rising is very interesting because you're very easygoing. You can be rough and tumble with people sometimes. You really do believe both of these signs really do. The Scorpio, which is the inside, the Aquarius, which is the outside. So the rising sign, the thing that people first meet when they first see you, the clothing that you're wearing, saying to people, I'm open, I'm open, I'm friendly. Everybody fits. Everybody has a place in this universe. But you believe that everybody else should believe the same thing. So you could sort of be rough and tumble about it. I'm sure that anybody who you meet that's sort of very conservative or has a very small mind about some things can really piss you off. Because it's like, no, you can believe what you believe, but everybody else fits as well.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of tolerance for people who are intolerant.
It's a very open-minded, closed-minded thing.
How do people find you? You are an intriguing lady. You obviously have something to say. You've done a lot of writing. You've done a lot of speaking. You've done a lot of performing. You have a lot of information. So how can people find you to connect to the spirit world?
StacyWolf.com. StacyWolf.com. I have a video online. Not everybody has to see me in order to try this.
Yep.
There's on YouTube, I have the video called Get Psychic 4 Steps, 5 Minutes. And I invite everybody to try it and put a comment.
Wow.
It's, I think, a foolproof way of opening your psychic ability. It uses a Hindu chant that I've learned that I've been teaching always in my groups. The first thing we do is a little chant, and it like sort of bypasses the Western brain's difficulty to sort of meditate, gets everything quiet, gets everybody in a state of bliss. Try it, see if you like it. Anyway, that's how to find me. And I have a Facebook page too with the bi-weekly astrology updates if you like.
Facebook.com/StacyWolf.
Stacy. Yeah, or Stacy Wolf James. StacyWolf.com.
A lot of people that are in need today are lost. And maybe we could say that about a whole bunch of us. We are all kind of lost in our own way, and we find our way oftentimes through self-motivation, self-preservation. But we have help from people like Uri Geller, who is an extraordinary healer and helper, got his claim to fame by bending keys and fixing things, bending spoons, all of that kind of stuff, which was great to get people's attention. And then from there, you really got serious, didn't you? You helped people trust their intuition, their instincts. And isn't that really what it's all about, Uri? Understanding how your mind works, how personally powerful you are?
Yes, very, very much so, Doug. You know that Your body is a powerful, intuitive communicator. And intuition basically allows you to get the first warning signs when anything is not working, whether it's in your body or around you. And then when that warning sign comes up, then you can address it. It's almost like, you know, people say, I have a gut feeling about something. I have a gut feeling that something is going to happen. I got a gut feeling that something is toxic, that something is weak, that something is off. So you have to listen to that gut feeling. It's basically called intuition.
Yep.
And you have to trust your instincts when you activate your intuitive powers. And I have been doing it, almost 50 years.
I was going to say 50 years. Yep. Yeah. People ask you this a lot, but I don't know that I really remember the answer because I'm not sure when I ask you the question, you ever really answered it. When you felt like you had something that other people didn't have, do you remember the first time you bent a spoon?
Yeah, I remember that. I was 5 or 6 years old, in Tel Aviv. If I look out, I can even see the area from my old Jaffa apartment. It's about, 2.5 kilometers away from here. And I lifted the spoon towards my mouth, and it started bending, and it broke in half. And because my mother comes from Sigmund Freud's family, the famous psychologist Sigmund Freud, she thought that I inherited certain powers from him. But as time went by, I also learned how to listen to that quirky urges in me. Mm-hmm. You know, some people again call it a funny tingle, that little voice in your head. And I listened to that little voice in my head, and I followed it. I followed my instincts. Because you see, Doug, the old cliche says, at the end of the day. So at the end of the day, you are the architect of your own life. Mm-hmm. And you have to build your own life around your feelings, your instincts, your imagination, your whole being. And if you lead your life positively and confidently and believing in yourself, that's massively, massively important, then you're going to start drawing very positive and good things into your life. And I think that has a lot to do with your gut feeling, your natural consciousness at work, your instincts at work, your paranormal abilities at work, your psychic powers at work, because everyone is psychic.
Yeah,
everyone has extrasensory perception.
There's a thing called personal power, and it isn't about being strong and overcoming other people. It's having yourself be honest with yourself. I think that, is there a better way of putting it, coming to a truism? And I wonder how often you face that yourself. What Uri Geller brings to Uri Geller?
You know, personal power is a power that is kind of intrinsic, if you heard of the word.
Intrinsic,
it is powerful to the person who has it. And I always said that we all had it. We all have it. It's basically based upon a person's personal qualities and traits, mm-hmm. such as, for example, honesty. You're honest. I try to be honest. It has to do a lot with courage. It has to do a lot with heroism and the ability to inspire others. If you have all those traits, hey, you made it in life. And I think you are in the driving seat. You have been all your life in the driving seat. Mm. So it's very, very much to the definition of what is personal power. And I bring it down to quality traits such as honesty, courage, heroism, and the ability to empower and inspire others.
Okay. Now, we can apply that to leaders, national leaders, business leaders, political leaders, religious leaders. But what it really does when you do that, in my estimation, is you give over your power to other people, because you're basically saying they're smarter than I am, they're more worldly, they have more experience, blah, 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 which is usually nonsense. This is how people get control of the masses by allowing themselves to be overcome by somebody who really is no more powerful than they are.
Absolutely. But you see, these people who become dictators and autocrats, etc., they kind of know what is expert power about. Expert power is the most valuable power base that one can have. You can call it a reward power. You can call it a legitimate power. You can call it a coercive power, but you have to be able to control it. Once you control it, you control others. Once you control others, you can control the media. And once you control the media, you have everything in the palm of your hand. And that's how dictators came to be.
Yep. You know, it's to think about.
You can go back to centuries and centuries. Yep. You can go back to biblical times. Mm-hmm. Those people had it. They knew what is intuitive powers.
You're right. Uri Geller, his website, URIGELLER, urigeller.com, the hidden power of Mary O'Malley, our intuitive in the focus. Matter of fact, Mary is going to conduct a group workshop or a series of workshops. Her web is psychicscout.com. So you're going to spend 12 weeks helping people explore the outer world and their inner world. Is that a good way of encapsulating this, Mary?
Yes. Yeah, it is. Throughout all of time and space. So there'll be a lot of guided meditation into past life regression, future life regression, parallel life regression, a lot of things that have to do with psychic and mediumship, connecting with your higher self. And the classes are done online on Thursday nights, and they'll be, you know, available for a week if you happen to miss one. So you can buy one class at a time or all of them together for a discount, and they're only $23. So
right.
I'm really looking forward to this.
Let's talk about how one understands it. Is it responsible? Maybe that's a question. The word responsible. Is it responsible for you to give people this information? Everybody has some ability, yes. Mm-hmm. But can some people handle the extra responsibility that goes with the knowledge that you are about to share?
That's kind of the purpose of the classes. It's easy to get freaked out, you know, and not understand what's going on. And so with a lot of these classes, you have an opportunity to learn how to handle it.
Yep.
And learn how to be in control of it so that you're not feeling freaked out and pummeled and, you know, things like that. The people who are experiencing their gifts in a big way but don't have any training, don't have any place to talk about it. This is a really good forum for that.
All right. So this first week, you're going to help people connect with their higher self. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
What's our higher self?
Higher self. For me, that's the part of us that knows everything about us and future, past, everything. It's also the part of us that's connected to God or spirit or Jesus or Buddha or, you know, however you define
that.
How
you see the higher power, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to deal with past life regression. I think from my experience, I think I've been regressed 4 or 5 times in my life. I wouldn't want to do it myself because I think there's a huge responsibility of getting yourself into and out of that space and then interpreting. You and I have had a couple of these sessions, and
mm-hmm.
Why it was wild and crazy. It was.
Yeah, and this one, this won't be quite as deep as what you and I were able to do one-on-one.
Yeah.
And I have it with the guided meditation, ways to do it very safely so that you're not, you know, clobbered by it or overwhelmed by it. We'll certainly talk about the results. But this is kind of a taste of what's available to you as far as information for yourself, mm-hmm. you know, where certain issues may have come from. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've noticed every time I do one, I end up feeling so much better about myself at
yep.
the end, no matter
yep.
no matter what it was about, I have a feeling of self-worth and confidence that I didn't have going in. So opportunity to heal something.
What I find in the lessons that I've had along this line, they've brought back memories that seem clear once they're tapped. But one wonders, or at least in my mind, I wonder why we aren't given this as a matter of course or a matter of fact. We can remember what happens in this life. Why wouldn't it be? Are you going to ask the higher power why it is that we don't have the immediate recall of what's happened in our past lives so we don't make the same damn mistakes over and over again?
Well, it's all about learning. And what we find is there's lessons that were not learned at the time that we have an opportunity to take a look at again. And I just think it would be so overwhelming, Doug, to come in with all your memories of all your lifetimes. And every time you meet somebody, you remember all the times you knew them before. And maybe they were your lover before, and maybe they murdered you before, or vice versa.
Both of those. That's happened to me.
You remember it's happened.
People who loved me have murdered me in past lives.
Exactly. So it's an opportunity for a clean slate. But that doesn't mean that information isn't available to us. Yeah. It doesn't mean we can't use it to heal some things from today.
All right. Mary O'Malley. You can go to Mary O'Malley, O-M-A-L-E-Y, O'Malley.com. Your Hidden Power. I'm Doug Steffen with astrologer Maria Francesca Trilogy. Her email address is smbworks@earthlink.net. smbworks@earthlink.net. I give you that because there are occasions when people hear the information that she presents that cause people to want to be in touch with her. And if you want to, that's the best way to do it.
Exciting, though, is that every... I'm sorry, am I interrupting?
No, yes, you always interrupt me, but please go ahead.
I was thinking about what is exciting about when the sun travels, you know, every month, it goes to a new sign, and then it covers all 12 throughout the year. And so it brings an opportunity for a new kind of energy. And now we're entering what we call, you know, the apex of the summer. It's a sign of Leo, the lion, the lioness, the creative, the fired up. And it's an opportunity for us to go into a new phase, a new moon with the sun and going into this sign is quite lovely. You know, I mean, we come out of Cancer, which is more about the homebody, you know, the nurturer, and we get more involved into what do we want to do? What do we want to create? What do we want the rest of this year to look like? And so this, the sun in Leo gives us an opportunity to do that. And
fire
I always
sign.
Think of that George Harrison song, Here Comes the Sun.
The sun, right. So the fire signs are the most, what? Fill in the blank. The fire signs are the most blank of all of the astrological signs.
Yeah, they're the most creative, the most fired up, and the most passionate.
Really?
We have Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. Those are the three fire signs.
So,
and they give us that creativity, and we all have that position somewhere in our chart. So that gives us the creativity. It gives us the desire and the passion that we need to move forward to create something. I mean, we are creative beings at the core of who we are. If you look around at everything that got created or, you know, invented, everything, every artist, every songwriter, every even programmers on computers, that comes from a creativity.
Well, do we attach creative writing to that, automatic writing to that?
Yes,
some of that?
Of course.
How's that
work? Any way that we can express our creativity. And some people, you know, will say to me, oh, Maria, I don't have a creative bone in my body. And that is so not true. It's just that most of us relate creativity to artistry. You know, hey, I can't paint a picture, or I can't Some people say, I'm not a good baker, I'm not a good cook. Well, there is somewhere in your life that you can look to see how you are a creative person. It could be where you position things in your home, or what excites you about different colors, or, you know, so there is a lot of ways to express creativity. And the month of August gives us a great opportunity to do that, because then we start moving, you know, that's when the sun reaches the height, and then things start moving into a new direction, a little bit different, a little bit quieter as we go towards the end of the year. Not that we want to think about the end of the year yet.
Good God. Let's do this a week at a time, please. Perhaps you check out Maria and her website and her daily postings, smbworks at earthlink.net, 59 past the hour.